If you have your Bibles, ask that you would turn to the Old Testament book of Joshua, the 10th chapter, verse 22 through 27. Joshua chapter 10, verse 22 through 27. Reading from the King James Version, it reads on this wise. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon. And it came to pass that when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterwards Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid. And they laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. The grass withered, the flower fades away, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. I want to read verse 24 one more time. All right. It says, and it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet on the necks of them. For a few moments, with the help of the good Lord and the aid of the Holy Spirit, I want to speak from the subject, put your foot on it.
All right.
Amen. Put your foot on it. My brothers and sisters, when you read this chapter, chapter number 10, we realize that Joshua was now in his series of taking over the land that God had promised to him. And as Joshua was taking over the land that God had promised to him, these kings had heard about how great of a slaughter that Joshua and the children of Israel were doing to all of the cities that had gotten in the way. They had heard about what he had done in the city of Jericho. They had heard about what he had done at Ai. And so what they said, they were going to come together. And so these five kings had conspired to come together, and they were going to work against Joshua, and they were going to overtake the city of Gibeon. And so what happened was Gibeon made peace with Joshua. And so as these five kings were going to go up against Gibeon, they went to Joshua and said, we need help. So Joshua talked to the Lord, and the Lord told him, make haste and go down and help. And so what happens, my brothers and sisters, is I give you the context real quick before we get to this this point that I want to place to you, because there are some kings that you need to put your foot on their necks. And so what happens is Joshua goes down and he begins to fight against these kings. And what these kings do is they send their men out to battle, but they flee. And the kings hide themselves in a cave. And they hide themselves in a cave while their soldiers are on the battlefield getting slaughtered. And so while they're hiding in the cave, word got to Joshua that they were hiding in this cave. But Joshua didn't immediately go after them. He said, finish the task. And after they finished the task, then Joshua returns to the cave. And that's where we pick up our text right now. But you should read Joshua chapter 10. It's a very interesting thing, because Joshua also, there's a miracle that happens in the text of chapter 10. Joshua actually prays and the sun stands still and the moon stands still. Joshua prays to God and he allows, God allows the day to stay longer than it ever did before. So it's a very interesting story. But I want you to look at some stuff in your life. There are some kings in your life that you need to slay. There are some stuff in your life that you need to put your foot on. And so as we look at this, there are four things that I really want to explain to us today as we get ready for this Christmas season, if you will, as we have got into the Thanksgiving portion of our year. And I know that 2020 has been a very different year. It's been a very challenging year for many people, but still there's some stuff that we must take care of as we prepare to go into 2021, if it be the Lord's will. Amen. So the first thing that I see, my brothers and sisters, as this war is taking on and Joshua is getting ready to deal with these five kings that have conspired against him, it's in verse number 22, it says, then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. Number one, I see the holding of the kings. The kings had been held in the cave and were now released. But they were not released for freedom. They were released for fatality. They were hiding in the cave, but didn't realize that somebody knew where they were. And while they were hiding, Joshua say, put a stone in front of that cave so that they couldn't get out. But they hid in the cave and got stuck in the cave. So now they couldn't get out. And when the cave was open, they thought they were being freed and were going to be let go. But now they were being freed in order to face fatality. And the end of the holding was because there was some unfinished business. The kings were not ignorant of their fate, because when they came out of the cave, they saw Joshua. They knew that their doom was sealed and it would just be a matter of time before their final punishment. My brothers and sisters, this reminds me of Revelation chapter 20, verse 13. A people will be held before their final punishment. And if you don't have your life right with God, it says that you will be in Hades and you will be in hell before your final punishment. And that's a bad place to be, which means that after you die, you're going to go to hell. You're going to come out of hell to be sentenced right back to hell. That's not a good thing. It says you will be cast into the lake of fire, which is death, the second death. So I see the holding of the kings, but then I see the humiliation of the king. That's the second thing that I want to talk about, the humiliations of the king. Look at verse number 24, which is really where I really want to spend some time today about. It says, and it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, Joshua called for all the men. Look at that. He says he called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which with him, he says, come here, get close. He says, I want you to do something to these kings. He says, I want you to put your feet on the necks of them. That was humiliation. The act of putting the feet upon the necks of the conqueror was common and very humbling for victims in those days. And so what he did, he says, since you captured the kings, he says, I want you to humble them by putting your foot on their necks. So basically, these men who own countries, who was in charge of nations, now these captains had their foot on their neck. So he allowed them to humiliate these kings who had conspired against the children of Israel. And so he humiliated the kings. These are the small kings, K-I-N-G-S with a small case. So Joshua told them to come close. I need you to get your victory. You got to put your foot on some kings. And I'm going to show you here in a little while, because I believe that there are some kings in your house. There are some kings that's been rattling around you that you got to put your foot on their necks. But then, as I hurry on, the third thing I see that not only was there holding for the kings, not only was there humiliation of the kings, but then I see there's honor for the king, the K-I-N-G, capital K. Look what he says in verse number 25. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to who? All your enemies against whom ye fight. And I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, but we have some enemies that we fight. Matter of fact, you fight an enemy every day. You have to fight your flesh every day. But the Bible says you got to be strong and of good courage, because the Lord shall help you fight this battle. And there's some enemies that you're going to have to fight. The devil, the Bible says, walk around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So he says to be strong and of a good courage. He says, look, you gotta make sure that you're ready. He says, but don't be fearful. And that's how you give honor to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the way Joshua honored God here was to remind the captains that the reason for the great victory over the Amorite king was by putting their feet on the king's neck, was because God had helped them get the victory. And anytime you get victory over something, you ought to give God glory about it. I don't care how small or how insignificant it may seem, you still ought to give God glory about it. And sometimes we miss our blessing because we don't give God the glory that he deserves, because we think that we did it of ourselves. Do you realize it was God that woke you up this morning? You ought to give God glory about it. Anytime you get up, get out your bed, make it through the day, and see another day, you ought to give God some glory. You didn't do it of your own. It was because of the goodness of God that he kept you. This week we heard about young people passing away, and we're still here. We ought to give God some glory and say he allowed me to make it another day. It wasn't because we've been so good. It's not because we've been so kind. It's not because we've done the right thing. It's not because we've always been good and always done right. It's because of the grace of God. We ought to say thank you. Then the fourth thing that I see here as we think about it, it says that after he gave God some glory, says, now I got to finish this thing. He said, because if I just put my foot on it, they might get up. So it says in verse 26 and 27, it says, afterward, Joshua smote them. He slew them and hang them on five trees. So I see the hanging of the kings. It says that Joshua hung them, and he hung them on 5 trees. But he didn't leave them hanging there. He did what was customary in those days, my brothers and sisters. After he humiliated them, he hung them, but he took them down. Because the Bible taught in Deuteronomy 21 and 23 is that he that is hang on a tree is accursed of God. And he hung them, but he took them down and put them in the same cave that they hid in. They didn't realize that the cave that they hid in was going to be their burial cave. They didn't realize that the same place that they were going to hide in was going to be the place that they were going to be in forever. So my brothers and sisters, you got to be careful where you hide. You might be hiding in the place that's going to kill you. You'll catch that one a little bit later, you know, because it says what you do in the dark will come to the light. And so this is the thing that Joshua does. He says that at the time of the going down of the sun, Joshua commanded that they take them down off the tree and cast them in the cave where they hid and lay gray stones in the cave mouths, which remain until this very day. Joshua had a plan for these men. He said, I gotta finish my task and then I'll deal with these kings. And my brothers and sisters, as I look at what we need to do in our life today, there's some things that you gotta put your foot on.
All right.
When we look at this text, many centuries before the time of our text, God had promised the land of Canaan to Abraham and his descendants. And now the children of Israel had been delivered from Egyptian bondage and had increased in number, whereby they could conquer and occupy the land. And it was time for God to fulfill his promise. And I'm so glad to know that God always fulfill his promises. Y'all ought to get happy right there. And following the death of Moses, Joshua has now become the nation's leader. And the command to go forward and take the land had been given. And the cities of Jericho and Ai had already been conquered. And so now the city of Gibeon had been made a compromise with Joshua. And so they wasn't going to destroy that city because now they had God on their side.
All right.
And although these 5 kings have decided that they were going to conspire against Joshua and they were going to conspire against Gibeon, God allowed them to get the victory. And after they got the victory, he said, I want you to put your foot on the necks of those kings. This symbolizing them taking full authority over their enemy. And it rendered the kings totally helpless. There was simply nothing they could do but submit to the Israelites and face their ultimate destruction. Now, you might still be saying, well, I don't get what that has to do with me in 2020.
Come on, Fatty. I got it.
Well, there are some spiritual truths that can be gathered from the symbolic act of putting your feet on the neck of your enemy. And I believe we need to consider some of the symbolic acts of these spiritual truths. First of all, the kings were in the way of God's people going forth to conquer the land where God wanted them to dwell. And they represent everything that stands in your way of becoming everything God has ordained you to become.
All right.
And there are kings that would like to stand in your way and if possible, rule and govern your life. And see, when God has ordained something for you to do and kings get in your way, that means you got to deal with those kings and put your foot on it. You see, if you don't take authority over them, they'll take authority over you. And when God has promised you some land and God has promised you some stuff, you got to get the kings out of your way. It doesn't matter if five kings have conspired to stop you. When God has given it to you, you got to deal with the kings that stand in your way.
Hey.
There are a few kings I got to talk about, and then I'll be out of here today. But I believe that there are some kings that's been standing in our way. Now, are y'all going to help me with it? I feel like preaching right now. Now, first of all, there's the king of jealousy. This is being resentful of what another person either is or have. You got to deal with that king. And then there's the king of bitterness. This is allowing hatred and cynicism to mold one's attitude. I wish I had a little help up in here. Let me get my preaching mic. I said that's the king of worry. This is being continually fretful and upset about anything and everything. You got to deal with that king. That's the king of doubt. This is never being certain or sure about anything. You got to deal with that king. That's the king of fear. This is the constant concern of present danger and will destroy one's peace and contentment. There's another king that's trying to stop you. It's the king of confusion. This will leave you helpless, frustrated about everything. Well, there's another one. I see him walking down the block. It's the king of pride. This is an arrogant spirit that causes one to feel superior over everybody else. You got to deal with that king. I see another king. I see him looking shiny. It's the king of greed. This is an intense desire to have more and more and more and never having enough. Do I have a witness? I see another king. It's the king of laziness, not interested in doing anything or helping anybody. Do I have a witness? You gotta deal with those kings. I see another king. It's the king of revenge. It's the cunning desire to get even with somebody that did you wrong. Do I need to tell you about another king? Is the king of anger. Do I have a witness? Always throwing a temper tantrum when you don't get your own way. That king gets you in a lot of trouble. Do I have a little help out there on Facebook and YouTube? There's another king. I see that one too. It's the king of selfishness. This one is being inconsiderate of feelings and desires of others. I said there's a lot of kings that we gotta deal with. Do I have a witness? There's one more king I see that's walking around the block. It's the king of resentment. This is being indignant at somebody because of something they may or may not have done. That king is a bad boy. Do I have a witness? And although there may be many more kings that would like to take control of your life and rule and reign over you, I will mention only one more, and this one right here
here. I say this one right here. Make sure that you pay attention to this one right here. This is the bad boy. This the baddest of the bad. This is the one that got all the clout. This is the king of regret. I said is the king of regret. This is not forgiving yourself. I say this is not forgiving yourself for something you either did or something you didn't do or something you didn't say. This key, it knocks you down. Oh, I feel like preaching. The king of regret will make you cry. The king of regret will make you go into depression. The king of regret will make you stay in your room. The king of regret will make you stop loving. The king of regret will make you wallow in self-pity. But you got to put your foot on it. You will have a witness. Pick up your leg and put your foot on that king. Ain't he all right? I said, you gotta put your foot on it. There's some kings that we gotta deal with. See, listen to me. Just as there were kings in Joshua's day, these kings are strong. And when they unite together, they will take over. Unless you put your foot on their necks, unless you want the kings to be your master, you better put your foot on their necks. Because if you don't, you will end up doing their bidding, fulfilling their will, satisfying their desires, submitting to their demands, yielding to their temptations, following their commands, and serving their interests. And you certainly can't afford to do this. And if you don't take charge, they will. As a result, you will become frustrated over your circumstances. You will become slothful in your responsibilities. You will become contentious with your family. You will become easily provoked in your relationship. You will become pathetic in your personality. You will become demanding in your rights. You will become backslidden in your soul. I tell you, you gotta put your foot on their necks. Help me preach it, Jojo. I said, I know that if you don't put your foot on their necks, they'll walk out for a little while, but they'll come back with a backpack. You put them out again, they'll come back with a suitcase. And you put them out again, they'll come back with a trailer. Do I have a witness? I've known individuals who failed to conquer these kings. And guess what? Nobody could live with them. Nobody could please them. And nobody cared to associate with them. But I'm so glad as I go to my seat and bid you a good Sunday, and as you get ready to have you a good time, I tell you, put your foot on it, because you can conquer all of these kings. Well, let me give you a few scriptures that'll help you conquer these kings, because the Bible says in Philippians 4:13 that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Do I have a witness? Well, maybe that one didn't get you. Romans 8:37 says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Maybe that one didn't get you. I got another one for you, Sister Pam. In 1 John 4:4, it says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I got one for you, Brother Bledsoe. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. I got one for you, Isabel. 1 John 5:4 says, whoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I got one for you, Trish. Joshua 1:9 it says, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Whether you're on Georgetown Street, the Lord is with you. I'm not worried about gunshots, because the Lord is with you. I got one for you, Sister Zachary. Psalm 27:1 said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? One more time, and I'll take my seat. Somebody, anybody, everybody, say, put your feet on it. Put your feet on it. Put your feet on it. On these vile, wicked, unnasty, these nasty kings. Put your feet so you can enjoy the unspeakable glory of the Lord. And then you can walk with your head held high. Say yes, 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 oh yes.
Put your foot on it.
Thank you, God.
Thank you,
God. And when you put your foot on it,
thank you, God.
Thank you.